Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the latest on the Pack? Let's go inside the locker room with Packers beat writer Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette on 9 to Noon with Kuhn, featuring former Packers fullback John Kuhn and Rami Makhlouf on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Hour 2 of 9 to Noon. There is John Kuhn. I am Rami Makhlouf. Brandon Snide along for the ride. In 1 hour at 11 o'clock, we'll be asking for your pie charts of blame for the Green Bay Packers' performance Monday night and just where they are right now as a franchise. You can start texting those right now to 414-677-1250. Want to stockpile some of those so we can read them all coming up at 11 o'clock. But you heard Big Voice Girl joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. He covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, us right here on The Fan. He is that dude on the Packers beat. Ryan Wood joins us. Woody, how are you this morning, my man?
Rami, I was doing a whole lot better until about 15 minutes ago when you informed me that you are going to make me do what is, for me, intellectually impossible, and that is to do math when I have only had one coffee this morning.
I'm sorry.
I still haven't caught up from not sleeping Monday night. So my understanding is a pie chart.
Yes.
Is supposed to add up to 100.
Yeah, you're supposed to divvy up, in this case,
I guarantee you that's not going to add up to 100. Whatever number we end up with, it won't be 100, okay?
All right. Ryan Wood, what is your pie chart of blame that may or may not add up to? I gave you 20 minutes. You have a calculator. You couldn't come up with it in that amount of time?
I don't think you understand. You're asking me to walk a tightrope with no net underneath. This is an impossible challenge.
We'll give you some grace. If it doesn't quite add up to 100, that's okay. Ryan Wood, what is your pie chart of blame, sir?
I think you got to start with the biggest problem with this team right now. That's the offensive line. So I'm going to give them 50%. That just seems about right, you know? Now, here's the flaw in terms of coming up with the exact accurate allocation is after the offensive line, it's got to be either Matt LaFleur, Ryan Gutekunst, and I don't know who to blame more there, because are they playing the guys in the right spot, or did Ryan Gutekunst's vanity project, the big focus of this offseason before Micah Parsons, was the offensive line? Did he just totally take a big swing and miss? Just with it. I don't know. I'm not convinced they're playing in the right spot. I also don't know that they're not. So let's go 20% to both. What does that leave us? We're at 90?
That gets you 90. Yeah, you've done 50, 20, 20. That's 90. Yeah.
Okay, well, this is where it's not going to add up to 100. I got 10% for Jordan Love because quarterback play has got to be better. No matter what's going on with the offensive line, this is a quarterback league. Jordan Love, the last two games, just has not been what he was early in the season. He's got to be better. But, yeah, there were some key important drops from the receiving core. There was a couple dimes Jordan Love threw that just didn't get completed. So let's give another 10% to the receivers. And then I'm going to give about 2% to Josh Jacobs. I don't think that he avoids culpability here as much as he is gritting it out. And some of these runs look like rugby scrubs. He's just running over the touchdown. He runs through the entire Eagles defense at the 3-yard line. He hasn't broken a run all season. He didn't obviously break a run Monday night. At some point, if you do get a sliver of green grass, you need more than a 5 or 6 yard run. So 2% to Josh Jacobs. I don't know. That's like 120 or something.
It's fine.
But it's more than 100% problem. What we saw Monday night was a massive, massive issue.
Woody, we talk about the offensive line, and there's one change, really one change in the offensive line. And I thought the offensive line performed well last year. I thought they performed well the year before. And now you get to this year, and it's the offensive line's a big problem. It's really only one. We substituted Josh Myers for Aaron Banks. That's what was done here in the offseason. But with that substitution came moving Elgton Jenkins to center, came a lot of who's going to play the right guard? Is it going to continue to be Sean Ryan, or is it going to be Jordan Morgan? I mean, there's only one move. How can the line be so much different in just one player changing place?
Well, John, you mentioned it there at the end. I think it's really two moves, because you're seeing a whole lot more Jordan Morgan at right guard, where it was a whole lot more Sean Ryan at right guard last year. And I get that the Packers appreciate Jordan Morgan's pass protection. He's not a guard. Right? We've seen him at left tackle in very small glimpses, and we've seen a larger sample size at guard. He is a left tackle. And I know that he was drafted in the first round. They liked his versatility. He has shorter arms, so the idea was they've done this many, many times. Fail a guy at tackle or move him inside at guard. But not everyone can do that. Sean Ryan was a tackle in college, and he's clearly a guard. It's not an indictment on the player if you can't play inside. It just means that you're a tackle. So I wonder if at some point the experiment has to end there. But that's the problem, right? Because Rasheed Walker, maybe in pass protection, Jordan Morgan's a better pass protecting left tackle. Rasheed Walker can run block. They don't have enough run blockers on this offensive line. Rasheed Walker can't play anything but left tackle. How do you get the guys in the right spots? It just doesn't seem like they're all where they should be.
Talking with Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider here on 9 to Noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf. Woody, I'm not going to ask you to revise your pie chart of blame, but how much do injuries factor into this, and how much grace does that give to the guys that were on your pie chart? Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, Jordan Love, and everyone else. You got to factor in injuries with how this team has played the last couple weeks, do you not?
Yes and no. Injuries are something that clearly they matter, but really they don't matter. Because everyone has injuries. Lane Johnson went out for the Eagles, right? I mean, every team in the
and
league.
And then he came back, and then he was resurrected in the fourth quarter.
he did, but they played a solid percent of that game without one of the generational right tackles of this league. Like, every team has injuries. So, yes, it does matter because, okay, an offense that is obviously missing some pop, especially with defenses, including the Eagles, but it's every week. Playing in that soft shell, if you're missing some pop, you don't have, obviously, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden. Yeah, that's going to be a challenge for you to get over. That's going to be a hurdle there. But that's the job in this league. Every team has to do it. So at the end of the day, I'm not hanging the hat on injuries, because that's just the reality of this business. You play football, you get injured. You have to figure that out.
So with injuries in mind, no Tucker Kraft this week, no Jaden Reed this week. What about Romeo Doubs? What about Matthew Golden? Who is Jordan Love going to be throwing to?
Should be Christian Watson a whole lot more, right? I'm not among the camp that questioning Matt LaFleur for playing Bo Melton at receiver. I get that he's been playing a lot more corner and practicing. His practice rest has been at corner. Bo Melton has played enough receiver in his lifetime. He wasn't a corner until this year. He's been a receiver his entire life. He's played enough receiver in his lifetime to catch a pass that hits him square in the chest between the 1 and the 6 on his jersey. And he showed it later in the game. Like, obviously the last drive, he had a catch that got him just outside field goal range. Like, he can make that reception, but I don't believe Christian Watson was on the field that play. What are you doing? Like, how does Christian Watson have fewer than 5 targets in a game? He's the best receiver right now. At some point, matchups have to matter. I'm not saying you stop trying to scheme guys open. That there should be a blend of the two, but you also need to prioritize your matchups. And Romeo Doubs on Quinyon Mitchell is not a favorable matchup. Stop going there. Find Christian Watson more, because when they did, good things seemed to happen, unless, of course, Bo Melton was covering up a tight end and was in a legal formation. So, you know, that – which, by the way, that to me is a much – that probably belongs on the pie chart. Just the calamity, and you maybe put that under Matt LaFleur, the calamity of mental errors that don't even give this team a chance. You convert a fourth and one on the sneak, and Aaron Banks thinks it's a quick count when it's not, and it's a false start because he's trying to anticipate the snap. You at some point, if you're struggling, you got to stop making it harder for yourself. You have to play clean, and this is an offense that, on top of everything else, is not playing clean. So, but I going back to the matchups, at some point they have to prioritize what the favorable matchups are for them as an offense.
Woody, that was one thing that really surprised me in that football game. The amount of times we threw the ball in the direction of Quinyon Mitchell. Everything, everybody around the league knows when you play the Philadelphia Eagles. Heck, we had a Philadelphia Eagle radio guy last week said, well, cornerback number two or number three, however you want to list them, Adoree Jackson is the guy that they're trying to replace right now. They're trying to find somebody. Everybody knows that's who you throw at, and the Packers barely attacked him. They threw so many times at Quinyon Mitchell. Could the Eagles have just had a better game plan and had us figured out, or did we drop the ball there? And who would have been dropping the ball in that aspect? To me, you don't attack their best player.
Romeo Doubs is a security blanket for Jordan Love. I don't think there's a receiver on this offense that Jordan Love is more comfortable with, that he trusts more. You got to remember, they've been doing summer workouts together since before Romeo Doubs was even on the Packers, going back to when he was at Nevada. They were working with Steve Calhoun and doing summer workouts together for years. So there's a lot of comfort level built up. And Romeo Doubs is an NFL-caliber receiver. Let's not say he's anything different. He's an NFL-caliber receiver. He's not a consistent difference maker week in, week out. Quinyon Mitchell is. He's a hell of a corner. So even if, at the end of the day, the quarterback chooses where the ball goes, it leaves his hand. He's got to be accountable for every target. And if your comfort, if your security blanket is on their best corner, you better find some more security somewhere else. You better trust the other guys a little bit more, because those are your favorable matchups, instead of trying to just ram a square peg through a round hole.
All right, last thing on this kind of same topic. All the pictures, all the videos coming out of Jordan Love missing this receiver coming open here in this deep third, this receiver coming open here across the middle on a dig. Do you guys get a sense that maybe the way this was addressed throughout the week last week was not that those guys were going to be open, that maybe this was coached to Jordan Love, and instead, because you don't just go back there a lot of times and just find the open receiver. You're taught progression number one, and if the safety rotates this way, here's where you're going to go with the football number two. I'm trying to get to this, how Jordan Love struggled so mightily in the last two games.
Yeah, I am too, and that's actually something I want to ask him about today, is because I've never been a quarterback. How does that happen? I do understand, obviously, that progressions are important for every quarterback. You start with one, go to two, go to three if it's not there. So I'm wondering the same. I don't know what the answer is, but it sure did seem on video that there were a lot of open guys that just didn't get the ball. How does that happen? And even more important, how does that get fixed? Because that's where the target's got to go. You got to find who's open. And Jordan Love's been so good at that throughout his career, of just taking what the defense gives, not forcing it, and finding the open guy. He sure just seemed like it didn't happen on Monday night.
I just want to say this for everybody out there. When these plays get created, they're created based off of what you watch the Eagles do in the past. So there is a possibility here that the Eagles fixed a woe that they had, something that they had been doing poorly throughout the course of the season, and just against the Packers, where Jordan was looking, where he was told all week, this is going to be open when they show you this defense. It just was not open because they covered it, and that left people open in different other positions or different other spots on the field that Jordan Love did not consider, because the entire week he was being told and coached that they were going to be open in that spot. So that's one thing that just I'm curious about as you talk to Jordan Love going forward. Next up, as we look at the Giants here, Jackson Dart probably is not going to play. They've had four guys get concussions this year. All four guys missed the next game, speaking of the New York Giants. So Jameis Winston is probably going to get the peg. Jameis Winston and an interim coach, that is actually a scary wild card to face, is it not?
You know, it should be a get right game. It should, emphasis, you know, should in all caps. And if it is, it comes at a good time because they have some division games. That the thing with this season now, it's interesting because all offseason we talked about 1-5 in the division last year. They want to go anywhere near where they want to go. It's got to be better in the division. They're only 1-0 because they've only played one division game. And it's ultimately in the back half of the season, what's going to matter is how they do in the division. Like, they got five divisional games left. How do they do in those games is going to determine a lot of this season. It should be a get-right game, but is there any such thing as a get-right game for this team right now? Like, there's the Carolina Panthers should have been a momentum continuing game coming off that Sunday night in Pittsburgh. It sure wasn't. They just got to show up and play better. But at the end of the day, whoever the coach is, whoever the opposing quarterback is, it almost doesn't matter. This team's got to play better, especially on offense.
Woody, and talking with Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider here on 9 to noon, if they don't get right in this get-right game, how hot is Matt LaFleur's seat? We've had a number of people, countless people already in 2 days since that Eagles debacle Monday night say if they don't win Monday night against the Giants, he shouldn't be on the plane coming back to Green Bay. Is his seat that hot, do you think, Woody?
I can't imagine it would be. You got to understand that if they fire Matt LaFleur mid-season, they are aborting the 2025 season. The world does not exist in where you promote Jeff Hafley to defensive coordinator to head coach, and they make this magical run. You fire a coach mid-season, you kill the season. That's the reality. The New York Giants are coming back. You don't fire a coach and survive that. You're turning to 2026. I don't think this team does that. I don't think this team does that for the same reason that at the end of the year, there very well might be a difficult decision to make about Matt LaFleur. And that's because this team doesn't have first-round draft picks the next 2 years because it determined that the time was now. This team was ready to make a Super Bowl run, so you trade your future in the draft for Micah Parsons because you believe he's the missing piece to put you over the top in a very good conference. And there's still 9 games left. They lose against the Giants. There's still 8 games left. They're 5-4-1. There's still time to turn this around. And this is a Super Bowl or bust season. That doesn't mean that this is a Super Bowl team right now. No, this is a very mediocre team right now. But in terms of expectation, they laid it out a week before the regular season. This is Super Bowl or bust. If that's the expectation, you can't fire a coach midseason. So I think that he'll get the opportunity, no matter what happens this week, to salvage this mess. But if it doesn't get salvaged, this team does not lack for elite talent. This team has, on paper, all the makings, all the ingredients necessary to make a Super Bowl-type run. If it stays mediocre, I don't see how else it falls anywhere but the head coach. Like, that's where Matt LaFleur is right now. It's his job, and I think he's going to get the opportunity through the season to get this team to that point because it very clearly is not right now.
All right, so I hear you saying two things. On paper, they have what it takes to make a Super Bowl run. And then I hear you say, right now, they are not that. They are not that team. They're very mediocre. So in order to be the team that they are on paper, what needs to happen in your eyes? And what's the likelihood that you think it actually happens?
Yeah, those are two very different things, right? It starts with the offensive line. If they do not run the ball better, when every team is going soft shell to deep safety, I don't know how they possibly get to where they want to go.
Like, Woody knows ball.
The book
Woody
is knows out. Ball. The book is out on this offense. Everyone wants to say, oh, they just need to not run it as much. No, they have no choice but to run. When you are going against a too high safety look, they are not in a position, the defense, to stop the run. You have to run it on that defense. If you can't, you're dead in the water. You have no chance. So they have to figure that out. If they don't, there's no salvaging this. So it starts there. If they can figure that out, all of a sudden it is easier for Jordan Love. All of a sudden defenses do have to respect them. Everyone wants to say use more play action. You have to actually be good at running the football for the play action to matter. Because if you can't run the ball, defenses aren't going to care about play action. You've got to present that threat, and they're not doing that right now. So if they're able to do that, defense has got to respect the run. The play action matters more. Life is easier for the quarterback. Then you'll start seeing the explosive plays again. which this offense does very well. This offense kind of lives and dies on sometimes. But it all starts with being able to run the football, and they've got to keep pounding at that until it gets right, because if it doesn't, nothing else really seems to matter.
That is Ryan Wood. He does know ball. That's why he's our Green Bay football insider and that dude on the Packers beat for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and us right here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Woody, always appreciate the time and the insight. I'm sorry I asked you to do math this morning.
And Woody, before you go, ask the guys this too. That two show that they're getting, is it really a two show? Because I'm watching a lot of film. I'm watching a lot of film where they're presenting two shell. The Packers are getting in a run, and that safety is sprinting down into the box at the snap of the ball. Little nuance here.
It certainly helps the defense when you've ran the inside zone a few too many times and the defensive tackle turns around the other 10 guys on his field, says inside zone this way, inside zone this way. You know, you watch that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
4th and 1, look at Reed Blankenship. He is on a dead sprint before Josh Jacobs even gets the football, right? You look at Jalen Phillips. He's selling out against the inside zone. He's just trucking Luke Musgrave inside. You might want to stop telegraphing the inside zone.
That is Ryan Wood. Would always appreciate the time, my man. We'll talk again next week.
Take care.
And he joins us on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, you get a lot of power rankings. You get them everywhere you go. ESPN, The Athletic, NFL.com. You get a lot of power rankings. A lot of power rankings on there. There's only one that matters. Well, three that matter. And they're right here on
really
9
one.
To noon. On the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.